Hi, and welcome to the Vine Community Church podcast. We hope that what you're about to hear will help you to flourish in God's grace and bear fruit through loving God, loving each other, and loving our community.
I'm Mark Pugh. I'm one of the pastors here at the Vine, and it's great to be here with you, to be able to worship together and learn more and more about God's Word as we do this today, and we do this every week. We're in a sermon series on the awe of God, understanding the awe of God. And, a lot of times we can get off on that. We can go astray because sometimes we want to put God in our own image rather than learning what God's Word tells us about Him and His image. And so then our sinful hearts, our secular culture around us, even our traditions can cause our lives to look more man or woman-centered than God-centered. So we instead, we want to ask God to teach us about Himself from His Word and to change our heart more and more so that we can follow Him and understand His awe, the awe of God, and to be obedient to Him. We're approaching this sermon series a little differently. We normally teach through a book of the Bible, and that's great because it really great content and teaches us all how to read the Bible. But because we're centered on God's characteristics and His attributes, we're going to look at different passages that highlight those things, and then after that, we'll talk about how that attribute matters as we seek to follow Him. And this week, we're on the topic of God's holiness. And we want to start each sermon with this prayer. So if you guys would join me in this as we seek to know more about God's holiness, to recite this prayer with me. It says, Lord, please help me to know You in my mind and know You in my heart. So we start off here thinking about God's holiness, and it's like, what is that? What is God's holiness? You know, for some of you all, this is probably a pretty easy topic. It's like, yeah, I've been around and I know and understand God's holiness, but honestly, for me, this was a little bit challenging. I'm gonna let you all in a little secret. I don't feel real holy. Yeah, I don't. And probably a lot of y'all don't. But if you're around me, if you're hanging out with me, you're probably not walking away going, hey, you know that Mark Pugh? He's really holy. Yeah, you're probably not. And so this is a little bit of a challenging concept. You know, I've heard this term a bunch over the last couple of decades, holy, holiness, and it's just hard. It's hard to understand, hard to apply to our lives. So we're going to look at a couple different passages today to try to better understand that. And we're going to start our main passage, and you all look this up now, is Isaiah 6. It's Isaiah 6, 1 to 8. So let me read from God's Word here, Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two He covered His face, and two He covered His feet, and two He flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of Him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go with us? Who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me. That is such an unbelievable piece of scripture. I mean, the imagery in it, you know, I think we struggle to write words that are strong enough or eloquent enough to really describe God. But this passage makes us think why we would worship him. It's amazing. We see that he's set apart in it, that he's on this throne, he's high and lifted up. The robe fills the temple. We get this sense that he really is different than we are. You know, there are these seraphim, which are heavenly beings, and they're praising him, and they're saying, holy, 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 which really gives you the sense that God's holiness is, it's different. It's different than our holiness. It's different than our holiness will ever be. This is one of the few places in the Bible where one of God's characteristics is repeated three times. And that gives a lot of emphasis to this holiness. And reading this helps us see that we could never be this filled with his glory and majesty. He is the creator. He's the ruler. We're the creation. So what's this word holy, what's it really mean? In the Old Testament, it comes from the Hebrew word kadosh. It's found over 110 times. It means to be unique and pure in moral and divine qualities that are set apart. It means being sacred and dedicated to the service of God. In the New Testament, holy comes from this Greek word, agios, and it's found over 230 times in the New Testament, and it also means similar, pure and dedicated for God's service. And actually, the word agios is part of how we get the term saint, because we're holy. Those who have accepted Jesus are set apart. We're dedicated for God's service, and we're called holy. See, God's holiness, it is beautiful. It runs through all the other traits of God. Holiness helps to establish these other traits. So like God's holiness, I mean his wisdom, God's wisdom is a holy wisdom. It is pure, it's perfect, it's set apart, it's set and dedicated for his purposes. Just like his power is a holy power. You know, as we think about God's characteristics, we rarely see God as addressed as the mighty God or the wise God or the generous God. You know, he's mainly called the holy God. And that's the greatest title of honor that we could give. As Psalm 89 reminds us, no one else is like God. We see that in verses 6 and 7. Psalm 89 says, "For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? A God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones and awesome above all who are around him." So to recap, what does holy really mean? Holy means to have pure moral and divine qualities that are set apart from common use. They are dedicated to God's purposes. They are sacred. In this passage, we see this holiness. To me, it's kind of beyond our comprehension. His purity is unattainable. So we understand a little more about holiness. Why is understanding God's holiness important to us? And it's important for several reasons. But one of them is that it helps us understand his righteousness, his justice, and his mercy. And these are three concepts that are really, really important in our spiritual journey. Understanding God's holiness, it gives us this perspective of what Jesus did on the cross for us. Because God is holy and he's just, he hates all sin and he has to punish it. And we've already seen that he's set apart. God's not going to live with those that are unholy. So his holiness, it drives his justice. It drives and establishes his righteousness. It establishes who can be in right standing with God. And those people that can be in right standing, they have to be holy. We really need to take holy seriously. Because for just one sin, Adam and Eve, they were banished from the Garden of Eden. For one sin, Moses was excluded from the Holy Land. For one sin, Uzziah was killed. Now, a lot of us probably don't know that story about Uzziah. So let's dig into that a little bit. And this is Uzziah. He was a prophet as David was becoming king. Not the same guy from, he's not King Uzziah that we just read about in Isaiah 6. So to understand Uzziah's story, it really helps us to understand God's holiness. And as we understand God's holiness, we begin to trust that God's justice is always right. See, his justice is holy. His justice is pure. It's set apart. It's dedicated for his purposes. It's impossible for God to be unjust because his justice is holy. So let's read 1 Chronicles 13:7-10. And they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab. And Uzziah and Ahio were driving the cart, and David and all Israel were celebrating before God with all their might, with song and lyres and harps and tambourines and cymbals and trumpets. And when they came to the threshing floor in Chidon, Uzziah put out his hand to take a hold of the ark, for the oxen was stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzziah. And he struck him down because he put out his hand to the ark, and he died before God. So we see here Uzziah, he was killed because he just touched the ark. He was trying to keep the ark from falling on the ground. I don't know about you guys, but that feels kind of harsh. And that's hard a little bit to swallow. You know, Uzziah wasn't completely innocent. He was a prophet. They had been thoroughly trained on how to handle the ark, and he would have known not to do that. But I think the more important thing here is it shows how serious God is about his holiness, how serious he is about being set apart. You know, this story continues to help us understand that he won't be around what is unclean. And if we don't know Jesus, without Jesus, we are all unclean. We are not holy. We're full of sin. We're contaminated. This story ought to get our attention and ought to make us think about his holiness. God's holiness, you know, sets him apart, and it requires us to be cleansed so that we can be set apart before God. And this is just another reason that we need to understand God's holiness. We see this in the passage we first started about in verses 4-7 in chapter 6 in Isaiah. And to summarize, it says in verse 5, "And I said, woe is me, I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. And then a seraphim flew over to me and in his hand had a burning coal. And he touched my mouth, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, your sin is atoned for." See, as we understand God's holiness, we begin to see that God, he is completely different than other creatures. We begin to respect the awe of God. We see his holiness as this fundamental divide between he and the sinful people that we really are. There's a great quote from John Calvin. He says, "Men are never duly touched and impressed with the conviction of their insignificance until they contrasted themselves with the majesty of God." You know, this happened to me. You know, in my late 20s, I thought I was a pretty good guy. I thought I was going to heaven. And it wasn't until God revealed to me himself, because I had fallen into deep sin, and God grabbed me and showed me who he is. And that's when I realized how unclean I really was, how badly I needed him to cleanse me. See, we see over and over again in Scripture that the Israelites, they were really serious about how they came before God. They were taught that God was holy, and that they were not. Most often they came, they needed a mediator. to go before God. Otherwise, they would suffer the consequences of being in this presence of absolute holiness when they themselves were not holy. God's presence resides in the temple, in this place that is called the Holy of Holies. Because of this intensity of God's presence, only a proper representative could go in, and only when they had a proper sacrifice that would be a substitute for the sins of the people. See, God's holiness, it should bring humility into our lives. It should help us recognize our need for repentance, that we realize how pure God is, and we need something like that burning piece of coal that Isaiah talks about to cleanse us from our sin. And that's what Jesus' death on the cross has done for us. It satisfied God's holy justice. It gave us his holy righteousness. That's his right standing with God. You see, for those who believe in Jesus, God sees us holy. He declares us as holy because of what work was done on the cross by Jesus. Again, we're called saints. We're holy because of that. You know, this is God's mercy for the repentant. And what an unbelievable gift this is. That the creator of the universe would give us the grace to help us to honor his holiness. I can hardly imagine. It's an amazing gift. This is an amazing display of God's love for us. I mean, the reality is there is no one whatsoever that would be holy because of who they are. Because of the work that they've done in their life, that doesn't make them holy. And this makes this situation so important that we understand God's holiness, because he has given us and declared us as holy, even though we're not deserving. You know, understanding holiness is important in how we view heaven. God is, he's not only perfectly good, he's the source. He's the standard of goodness. God's character doesn't change, so he's forever good. He's forever perfectly good. And since he's perfectly holy and he lives in heaven, no sin can exist there. And that's what we see in the Bible. That's what we're taught in the prophet Habakkuk in chapter 1:13. He's describing God. He says, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing." So we know heaven, there will be no wrongdoing in heaven. So we've defined holiness, and we've talked a little bit about why it's important to understand it. Let's look at how does God's holiness impact the way we should live. In our passage in chapter 6, verse 8, we see how it affected Isaiah. We see, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?' And then I said, 'I'm Isaiah. Here I am. Send me.'" It is so exciting and encouraging to see people that sense and know God's call for them, and they're on purpose dedicating their life to God. It is just an exciting people to be around. I think about Trey and Kiki Adams. Trey was our youth leader a long, long time ago, and he said, "Here I am, send me." And they've been in Thailand for many, many, many years serving there. And even just practically, how the saints of this church step up when there's a tragedy in somebody's life. They step up to serve. I see it all the time with a funeral. There's people that don't even know the people in the funeral, and they stop what they're doing to serve, and that is so encouraging. And we see this. Isaiah, he saw the beauty of God. He saw his holiness, and it compelled him to serve. So to fully answer this question, it's helpful to know that God's driving passion, throughout the whole Bible, from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, is to make the universe a holy dwelling place for himself and his people. You know, it began in the Garden of Eden when God created this beautiful place with fruitful goodness, but that was lost because of our sin. It was lost because of our selfishness, our brokenness, and it's lost until Jesus returns and he creates the new heaven and the earth where his people will be at home with him. So then, well, what are we to do? What are we to do in the meantime while we wait for Christ? And we see the same answer basically in the Old Testament and the New Testament, in Leviticus and 1 Peter. Leviticus 20 says, "You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and separate you from the peoples, that you should be mine." And 1 Peter says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So as we wait, it seems pretty clear, we're told to be holy. See, being holy is a way that we can serve the Lord right now. So let's go back and let's look at that definition of holy again. Make sure we've got that. And holy is that the things that are holy are pure and set apart from common use. They're sacred and dedicated to God's purposes. You know, a great example of this was back in the Old Testament when people would give their tithe. They would declare it as for God, and their tithe would be holy. Or they would set aside a pot or a linen for God's purposes, and that pot or linen would be called holy. And so as we think, well, what's that really look like in our life now? What does being dedicated look like? I think when you're dedicated to someone, it means that you genuinely want to honor them. You want to care for them. You want to go out of your way to support and encourage and care for them. You're not just following or honoring their commands. You're seeking and searching for their desires, to give them their desires. Being dedicated, it means that we love all the time. That we're just compelled to love. We're loving on the bad days and the good days. You know, total devotion doesn't get distracted with other things. Even though we do, total devotion doesn't. You know, an imperfect but kind of practical example is, you know, in the workplace where you're working around that person that you see is totally dedicated to the organization. Like, they're all in. They're doing their work to the best of their ability. They're helping people without being asked. You can see that they really want the organization to be successful. They're putting the best interest of the company in front of their own interests. And you know what? I think typically, maybe not always, but typically these people are great to work with. And I think that's just a little taste of the new heaven and the new earth that Jesus is going to recreate for us. Again, it's his passion to create a holy dwelling place for he and his people, that one that we're not going to be manipulating each other. We're not going to have to negotiate for what we want. So a question that we need to ask ourselves as we think about this, maybe we ask somebody that's really close to us, what's it look like that we're dedicated to? What do our lives show? Does it look like we're dedicated to God's kingdom and his purposes? Or does it look like we're dedicated to something that's going on around us, to earthly things? You know, we can see this from our passage in Isaiah and Leviticus and 1 Peter, that we're to honor and serve God by living this life that is holy, which means we're dedicated to live for God. You know, oftentimes this means our life, it's going to look a little different than those lives around us. And Leviticus 20:26 actually calls that out, that we'll be separate. And to help with this, we need people in our lives. We need people in our lives to disciple us and to model Christ for us. We need to be open to asking those people to challenge our thinking in all areas of our life. Things like how we raise our kids. Where do we spend our time? What shows do we watch? What words do we choose to use? Like not talking about just the bad words. I'm thinking about like Ephesians 4:29 that says we should be building each other up. We should be encouraging each other. I don't think people that are holy and dedicated to God should be jerks. It's hard not to be a jerk at times, but they shouldn't be. How do we follow God's law? We need help with these things. You know, I think even how do we spend our money? I don't think that there's a ton of dedicated, devoted people that are just studying God's word and lining out exactly what percent that they need to give to the church. I think that they have a heart to give. I think they just enjoy it. They're compelled to give. You know, we need help challenging ourselves. How do we love our spouse, sacrifice for our family, sacrifice for our friends? These are hard things to do. We need help just understanding that one of the things that's great about work is it's where we get to love our neighbor. We need help understanding and seeing and having a desire to care for the lost, the people that don't know Jesus. And we have this opportunity right now. We have the opportunity right now to serve God and practice what it's going to look like to live in heaven. Because of our faith and God's work in our life, the Holy Spirit lives inside us and gives us the ability to become more and more holy. Instead of having to go to the temple, like the Israelites, they had to go to the temple to get close to the presence of God. Well, the presence of God through the Holy Spirit lives inside us. We are God's temple. We are the walking temple of God right now. And we talk a lot about wanting to flourish in God's grace. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to do that. As we learn to submit to Him and become holy, we learn to flourish. The reason why I think God wants us to be holy is He wants us to be with Him and not separate from Him. And He knows us being holy is what is best for us. Again, this is a beautiful gift that God has made holy. He has declared holy those who put their faith and trust in Him. See, because of Jesus' work, we're not separated from God. But our sin keeps us from experiencing the goodness and the beauty of God's holiness to its fullest. Yeah, I've heard it said that as we mature in our faith, as we go along our faith journey over time, that we start to see our sin more and more and more. And we see ourselves as less and less holy. And this is a problem. We kind of need to deal with this. If we minimize God's holiness, we tend to have a broken image of ourselves. One that misleads us to thinking more highly of ourselves. And then that can lead us to missing out. We think more highly of ourselves, we miss out on the beauty of God. We miss out on seeing the awe of God, and it makes it harder for Him to work in our life. And again, it's His work in our life that helps us to learn how to flourish in His grace. You know, a few minutes ago, we were singing this song, Holy Forever. And we sang these words, and the angels cry, Holy. All the creation cries, holy. You are lifted high, holy, holy forever. This is why we want our God to be holy. This is how His holiness impacts us. His holiness leads us to want to worship Him. As we worship Him, we oftentimes experience a little less worry, a little less anxiety, a little more joy. And we go after that by praying, Lord, help me. Help me be more like You. Help me be holy. Help me to believe that You are holy. Help me to serve and obey You.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com, download our mobile app, or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.